Today's class will be, of course, this is the end, the fifth Sunday in August. Today's class will be the last one that I will be teaching for a while. I've enjoyed this series. I hope you have too. We started off with 2 weeks of talking about the 30 pieces of silver. Then we moved along to the actual betrayal with a lesson called The Kiss. And then last week, or I'm skipping one somewhere. Okay, then the 3 hours of darkness, I think, is that right? Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, yes. 3 hours of darkness we did last week, and we're going to pick up there. There was a couple of things that I didn't mention, but it works in with today's lesson, which is the tombs were opened. So we've had kind of a, what do you call that, congruous? What do you call that, where it kind of, one follows the other. These lessons, I think, have helped me in my study to present them, because I've learned a lot. Last week kind of ran out of time, and I had just a couple things I wanted to mention. Like I say, it kind of fits into the beginning of today's lesson. From noon, and when Christ was on the cross, from noon till 3 o'clock, it was dark. Man, I bit my tongue. Sorry. It was dark, and so there's not much mentioned during this period of time. There's a couple of quotes of Christ. And then at 3 p.m., he dies. I wanted to point this out. At 3 p.m., Christ dies in the hour of the afternoon sacrifice. 3 p.m. was the hour of the afternoon sacrifice in the temple. And he could probably see the temple from Golgotha. And he died at the same time that the priests were killing the sacrificial lambs in the temple. When he died, let's see, I'm going to start with today's, because that kind of leads us into today's. Look in Matthew chapter 27. In Matthew chapter 27, beginning about, let's begin in verse 50. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and gave up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook and the rocks were split. We'll stop right there for just a minute. Now, when we read this, we need to pay, especially with today's lesson, we need to pay very close attention to the exact words and the exact sequence of events, okay? It's 3 o'clock, and Jesus gave up his spirit, it says, in Matthew chapter 27, there in verse 46, he made his last utterance and said, "It's finished," "It is finished." And the death psalm, Psalm 22, at the end of it, it says that he has accomplished it. Okay, so he was quoting that death psalm in his mind. And just as he got to the end of that death psalm, I think he passed away. So, Christ died. And then the curtain was torn. And look at this. And then the earthquake. How many of you presume that the earthquake tore the curtain? It doesn't say that. A lot of people, you know, you see movies or whatever, well, the earthquake and then the... No. The curtain tore first. And This curtain, and I'd have to go back and look at some other notes I have, but this curtain was somewhere around 60 feet tall and 4 inches thick. This wasn't a small thing to happen, okay? Why did the curtain tear from top to bottom without an earthquake? Okay, it gave us, it represented us now having access to God, face to face, okay? We have access to God through Christ. And I want you to look at all the things that are happening here as we move into today's lesson, that, you know, he died, the curtain was torn, then there was an earthquake. It says the rocks split. I don't know if any of you, have any of you ever been to Jerusalem? Anybody? My lucky sister's been twice. But the Jews there are called the people of the rock. And she said there's piles of stones on every street corner in Jerusalem. If anything happens, people pick up stones and they're ready to defend or to take action, okay? People of the stone or people of the rock. Jerusalem's built on a big rock. And these rocks split when Christ died. It's like all of creation was shocked and reacted at the death of God's Son. Okay? 3 hours of darkness, the temple curtain tore, the earthquake, the rock split, and now today the tombs were opened. The tombs being opened did happen after the earthquake. I don't know if the earthquake caused that, but the word, both the Hebrew word and the Greek word here for opened means to expose. It doesn't mean like opening a door, okay? It means to expose or to reveal what was hidden. I thought that was pretty cool. Now, there is geological evidence of seismic activity approximately 33 AD. They can look back at the geological record and see that in some digs. Now, these tombs were open. Let's read a little more. Behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. Also, the tombs were opened. Now pay close attention here. Also, the tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. Now look at verse 53. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. What's wrong with this picture? Okay. Has this ever bothered you about dead people? You know, graves were opened and dead people were resurrected and came and walked in Jerusalem and people recognized them. Have you ever wondered about that? What all that really meant? Okay. I don't know. It's difficult. Let me read it real quickly again. Also, this means that along with the earthquake and the rocks being split, also the tombs were opened. So I think that happened at the same time or in very close sequence, okay? Many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And then it talks about in the next verse talks about them coming out of the tombs and appearing in Jerusalem. So, all right, one of two things happened here. Now, I have no doubt that the tombs were opened when the earth shook and the rocks were split. I don't have any doubt about that because of the way it's phrased here. Now, the tombs being open, I'm going to go ahead and throw this part in there. Most of the tombs, I know you have a picture in your mind of the tombs around Jerusalem. Most of they didn't dig necessarily graves. They dug holes in a rock. I had that written down and I didn't copy it in these notes. But they had they dug a family tomb, okay? Depending on how many is in their family. And they dug these holes in the wall where they could lay a corpse, okay? And then after a year, they would go in and gather the bones and put them in an, what's the name of that? Ostuary. Thank you, Charlie. A box, okay? Now, oh, I gotta hurry. You guys had too many announcements. The poor people, or middle class, whatever, had flat stones, square or whatever, to seal the tomb. In Jerusalem, they have done excavations there, and out of 100 tombs, only about 6 would have round stones. Those were from the rich people. I never realized this before. Whose tomb was Jesus buried in? Joseph of Arimathea. Guess what? Joseph was a rich man. And when he had his tomb dug or hewn out, he had a round stone made. That's just cool as all get out, isn't it? Okay. Yes. Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm getting there. The tombs, now, like I said, one of two things. Either those bodies didn't resurrect, come to life, until Sunday, or they came to life and laid there till Sunday. Either way, they weren't raised. They didn't come out. They didn't leave the grave until Sunday. But can you imagine? These people had been through a lot, hadn't they? What do you call them, Jerusalemites? They had been through a lot. 3 hours of darkness, the temple veil tearing, the earthquake, rock split, the tombs were opened, whatever that looked like. And they go up to see these tombs, and they look inside, and there's dead people in there. They could be still dead, but it's difficult the way it reads. But they may have been alive, but they're laying there. They're not moving. They're laying there. But imagine what that looked like. What would you have done? You go to see Uncle Charlie, and his grave is open, and he's laying in there. I can't even imagine what that was like. It says that the saints were the ones that were raised. The word here is hagioi. And it comes from the word hagios. Hagioi is the plural of hagios. Hagios means saint. And that word means in Greek, consecrated or set apart for God. Okay? A person who was set apart for God. That's the people that were raised. Now this blew me away. Number one, how many of them were raised? We don't know. Many. Okay? More than 5. Okay? many of these saints were raised at that time. Now, here's a better question. Who were they? Did you ever think about that? It says that they appeared to many. And what good would it have done for someone who you didn't know? Do you think, okay, it was Abraham or Moses or, you know, those kind of people. They didn't know what they looked like. There were no photographs in those days. Who do you think it was? Huh? Okay, check this out. This blew me away. I mean, just to come to face to face with the reality of this. Think about maybe Simeon was one of those. And Anna. And Joseph. And Zechariah. And Elizabeth. And don't know. We know that these people came into the city afterwards. They came in, okay? Don't know. What I'm saying is some of these people could have been among the number that were raised, okay? I would really doubt that Simeon and Anna were not there walking around, and people recognized them. And this is all going to come, believe me, this is all going to come together in a minute. What's that? Oh, we're fixing to touch on that. Matthew records this. Mark, Luke, and John do not. Why does Matthew record this? Because Matthew wrote to the Jews, okay? Look with me. This is crazy too. Look with me in Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. And it was a valley of bones. He had me pass among them all around, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. Then the Lord said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, Lord God, you yourself know. Again, he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord God says to these bones. Behold, I'm going to make breath enter you so that you may come to life. And I will attach tendons to you and make flesh grow back on you. Cover you with skin and put breath in you so that you can come to life. And you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a loud noise. And behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, tendons were on them. And flesh grew, and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, the Lord God says this, come from the four winds, breath, and breathe on these slain, so that they come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath entered them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. As Matthew wrote this to the Jews, these Jews knew Ezekiel. And when they saw these dead people, maybe a lot of, there could have actually literally been a rattling of bones when this happened. Those bones could have come out of that ossuary and come together. And God presented them alive, okay, recognizable. Wouldn't have done any good if they couldn't recognize them. And once again, we're going to make a good point of that in a minute. Let's look in Hosea, if I can find that little rascal. Hosea chapter 6, 1 and 2. Come, let's return to the Lord, for he has torn us, but he will heal us. He has wounded us, but he will bandage us. He will revive us after 2 days and will raise us up on the third day. That is a prophecy right there. He will raise us up on the third day. These Jews knew these scriptures. And all these scriptures came rushing back into their mind when the dead came to life after Christ's resurrection. Now, I skipped a huge part. Let's go to 1 Corinthians right quick. Okay, 1 Corinthians beginning in chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 20. But the fact is, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by man death came, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, after that, those who are Christ's at his coming. The reason they didn't come out of the grave until after Christ was resurrected on Sunday is because Christ had to be the first fruits. The first fruits, they gathered the first fruits and presented them as an offering to God on the Passover. Christ was presented to God as one who had done his job, okay? He was obedient to the end. Now, Christ was the first fruits. Then the proof of the conquering of death came when these people came out of the grave and walked in Jerusalem and were recognized by many. Okay, I got just a few minutes. Look with me in Acts chapter 2. You know this passage by heart, but we're going to look at it. In Acts chapter 2, look in verse 41. So then, those who had received his word and were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. 3,000 souls. There weren't 3,000 people. Okay. There weren't 3,000 people that had took part in betraying Jesus. Okay? You know, we're told here that they said, "Brothers, what do we do?" And they were told what? Repent and be baptized, okay? But do you think all of these 3,000 had something to do with Jesus being killed on the cross? Do you think it was because the apostles were just fantastic preachers? You know, we've had a few baptisms here over the past few months. Dude, it says that day, 3,000 were baptized. And I'll tell you why I think so many were. I think they saw someone they knew being raised from the dead, walking the streets of Jerusalem. Along with other things, but I think they saw these people resurrected and saw them alive, and they're going, this is real. This is not some itinerant rabbi out here trying to tell us what to do. This was the Son of God. I think this pushed them over the edge and they believed, okay? This wasn't a random thing that God did. This was very intentional that these people raised from the dead, waited until Christ was resurrected, and then they came out of their tombs. This was a very intentional, real thing to happen. Okay. Yes. Okay, not that long. Somebody help me out here. This was on Pentecost, so 50 days after Passover. Yeah, this was like, what would we say, not quite 2 months. Not quite 2 months after the... Dude, I don't have a clue. Don't have a clue. They could have lived until they died again. We're not told. I don't know if they just marched back into the grave and laid down again, or if they lived a second part of their life until they died again. What about Lazarus? You know? How long did Lazarus live? I felt sorry for Lazarus. He had to die twice. The widow's son, Nain. All of those who had been... They were not the firstborn of the dead because they had to die again, right? Jesus was the firstborn. Okay. Does that help? A lot of them wouldn't, but I have no doubt 3,000 of them probably knew somebody that had died that was walking the streets of Jerusalem.
And you know they
talked
good.
Oh, yeah. That what now?
3,000.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Look with me in Romans chapter 8 as we close. This is what I wanted to leave you with. But if, in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. You've been baptized into Christ and received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Where's the Holy Spirit right now? In you. And he says here that same Spirit is going to raise you from the dead just like it raised Christ from the dead. We have seen it happen before, haven't we? And it'll happen again. So with that encouragement, we're done. Next time you read through this story, though, really see the picture and look at the sequence of events. That's what's so interesting.